I don't have anything prepared for this bit.
Great.
You've just got back from Canada.
Yeah.
Did you watch any Canadian films?
I watched a lot of ice hockey.
Did you watch any films about ice hockey?
No.
Great. This is brilliant. It's not a sports podcast. Did you watch any films on the plane?
Yeah, I watched loads of films on the plane.
Okay, any good ones?
Or
is this something you're going to do for the actual podcast?
Well, I don't know. It depends if we're doing what we've been watching in this one or whether we're going to save it for...
I think we're just going to do a top fives in this one, weren't we?
Well, let's save it for when we're doing what we've been watching, because I've got quite a few this month.
Okay. So you got any funny stories about Canada?
One of the films I was watching on the plane, I had to turn off because there was too much nudity for the two old women either side of me.
That's amazing.
There you go.
Did you know this? Did you feel this? Like, make the judgment
they
yourself?
Felt this.
You had two women either side of you?
Yeah,
Did they know each other?
Nope.
Okay.
One of them didn't speak very much English.
Did you try and strike up a conversation with two old ladies on the plane?
Nope. She tried to start a conversation with me. I didn't speak her language. No matter how many times she tried...
Oh no, what language was it?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
No,
fair
idea.
No, and the other old lady?
She kept on pretending to be asleep and then waking up. Just as there was a nudie scene.
It's because she's seen it before, Dave.
Yeah, probably.
That's why it's because she's seen it before.
Probably.
But you did choose to watch 50 Shades of Grey on a plane, didn't you?
I had 8 hours to pass.
Hello and welcome to another Top Fives edition of Views from the Sofa. Just so you get your little Views from the Sofa, the movie podcast fix, because Dave's been away for ages.
Sorry.
Which means we haven't been out of pod. You were sick the other week we were in a podcast.
Yes.
Which means that this could have been seamless. People didn't have to know that you were away in Canada gallivanting.
Nope, I had man flu.
You had man flu, so we couldn't even come over and do a podcast.
Nope.
So people have been missing us.
Yeah.
I've been crying out to find out what's been going on.
Absolutely.
In our movie lives.
Yeah.
So we've
sick
got to deliver. Yeah, well, that's it. So we're doing two top fives.
Yes, we are.
And these top fives are movie titles. So we've gone for... Do you want to do the long one or the short one first? Because I was thinking we do the long one first because I think we're going to have more of the same on the long one. And less time to talk about it.
Okay, interesting.
The short one was going to be more variation.
Interesting, okay. I think it would be the other way around.
So you think we're going to
I think
have...
the shorter ones will have more...
Really?
Similarities.
There's loads of choice for the short ones. A ridiculous amount of choice for the short ones. And not for the long ones.
True. Okay. Well, let's start with the long ones.
Start with the long ones?
Short ones, yeah.
Okay, then. So, the first top five is top five movies with titles longer than 6 words.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is harder than it sounds to come up with.
Yeah. I was texting my friend John Lee about this list, and he asked what you're podding about, and I told him that we were doing these, and he rattled off like two solid lists of single movie titles. I doubt yours is going to include this. I know for a fact it won't include this. His list included Labyrinth.
Nope. Never seen it.
Okay.
That's David Bowie, isn't it?
It's David Bowie. There's a reason that you haven't seen Labyrinth. It's not good.
It doesn't look in it.
And then he went to try the long list, and he got to two films, and then said, I can't think of any more. So
it's really hard.
It is really hard.
Try it yourself, guys.
Yeah, well, see if we caught that top five, and then see if yours is... I can't see yours being any different. So do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
You can go first. I'm going to make a prediction here. Right. We're not seeing each other's lists before.
No, we never discussed it.
Give each other the top five title and that's it. I think we're going to have one that's the same.
I'm predicting we're going to have three.
Okay.
Oh, I like that. All right.
That sounds like a good addition to this feature.
That it does. I like that. Actually, that more often. Okay, yeah. Right. I can't decide. Did you say you go first?
No,
I'm going first. Number five.
Go on.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Okay.
The first proper Guy Ritchie movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Vinnie Jones' first proper movie.
Yeah.
And I love it. I absolutely loved Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. Now, I'm in a weird situation. I don't know if you're the same. Did you watch Snatch before you watched Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels?
No, I think I saw Lock, Stock first.
See, I watched Snatch first. So I'm in the, I think probably the minority that thinks Snatch is a better film. It's, it gets it. Lock, Stock and Two
yeah,
Smoking
sorry,
Barrels.
Sorry, I was just counting the words.
You're going to do that for everyone, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Brilliant, okay. So,
Yeah, I think Snatch is better, but that has fewer than six words in the title.
Yes, it does,
so
yeah.
Can't be in this list.
But it's just a weird one. I think it's written ridiculously well. It's got... I love the way it's... The dialogue's fantastic. Jason Statham doesn't play Jason Statham in it. I also like that. You forget Jason Statham's in it.
Yeah. It's, this is when he's weedy, or a bit weedy.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Sting's in it. Can't argue with Sting's in a movie. In fact, why didn't I pick Lock, Stock when I was doing the musician ones?
That's true.
I think I forgot Sting was in the film.
He's his dad, isn't he?
He's the dad,
yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Vinnie Jones kills a guy by beating his head to death in a car door.
Yeah.
It's got everything you want from a gangster film.
Yeah, it does. It is a really good film. And that isn't in my list, but that was almost my number five as well.
Oh, right, okay. Well, that's one of the ones I thought we'd have the same.
Okay.
So...
Yes.
Okay. So not three then. Anything more to say about that?
I don't think so, no. It is a good film. If you've not seen it, go and watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know there was a TV show?
Was there?
Yeah. It was at Channel 4. It ran for about six episodes and it was called Lock, Stock. So every episode would be Lock, Stock and, you know...
I like
two
Friends.
Flying pigeons. And essentially like Friends, yeah. I never saw it.
No.
But... Obviously, it ran for six episodes, so it was probably rubbish. But then again, they've also made a Snatch TV show, haven't they? Starring, who's the guy who plays Ron Weasley? Rupert
Grint.
It stars him. It stars Rupert Grint in that
okay.
too. So,
that could work.
Silly trying to milk the... I think it was like released last year, and I've not heard anything.
Okay.
So I don't know if it has worked, to be honest with you.
All right, but, fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, then, you're number five.
Well, you've subconsciously or unknowingly done quite a good link there, because I've gone for Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 as my number 5 over Lock, Stock, which...
Really?
Yeah, because I think, again, it's... We've spoken about it before. It's one of those... I like the series of films, and I like where there's a known ending. Like when it's like, well, okay, we've watched six films building up to this, or seven
six,
films.
Six or seven, wasn't it? Yeah.
And this is it. And I as a sort of sensible adult, I don't read.
True.
So I didn't know the ending. I didn't know any of the stories before I'd seen the movies.
That was the same as you.
It was good. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was there was a few good set pieces. It was good story. It ended well.
Had a good conclusion, that, as well.
Yeah.
Had a proper good conclusion.
Yeah. It was a really good film. And you were bought into the characters. You'd been with them for so long that it was like, right, yeah, this is good. I'm pleased to see them end this.
Absolutely. You're so, properly invested in it as well.
Yeah.
And you don't want any more.
Yes.
I know there's Fantastic Beasts. I know you've been to see Fantastic Beasts. And we'll talk about that when we do a full episode next time.
Yeah.
But... You know, you don't want it. It has a nice finale that you don't want. I don't want to see more Harry Potter. I don't want to see Harry Potter any more adventures. As far as I'm concerned, he does this, and then he lives the rest of his life peaceful.
Yeah,
thinking, yeah, I saved the world once. It was fine. Yeah, whatever. Has Harry Potter made your list anywhere else?
No, there's no more Harry Potter.
There's no more Harry Potter
films
on your list.
No.
So, are you saying Deathly Hallows is the best of the Harry Potter films?
I think so. Yeah.
Because a lot of them would qualify as more than six.
Yes. I went for this one because it's... As the film... You know, I don't like Pixar. I'm not a big fan of kids' movies generally.
Yeah.
And as the films go on, as the characters grow up, the films grow up. Mm. And I preferred this film because it was more... It was closer to my age.
Yes. I'll go with that.
Than the kiddie ones. So.
See, for me, if we're picking a Harry Potter movie... I'd have gone Goblet of Fire.
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Exactly. Because that for me, that one's got the three, Yeah, don't worry, I counted while you were chatting.
You didn't use your fingers.
I didn't use my fingers. I did, kind of, but I was just doing it underneath me. I had my arms folded, I was literally counting on my arms. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, because it's got those three competitions, and it's got the wood thing at the back, and that's where...
That's good.
Getting really geeky now. That's where, spoilers, Voldemort appears properly and kills Cedric. Is it his name Cedric? It's played by Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
I can't remember his bloody name because I'm not Harry Potter geek. I think it's Cedric.
Yeah.
But he kills, a character properly dies in a brutal way.
Yeah.
And that's the first time you go, actually, this could be cool, this series. This could be like decent, you know. I think that's because when I watched it, I did a bit of a marathon with it. Okay. I went, I should see the Harry Potter movies. And, you know, you sit through the first couple and you're like, yeah, all right, yeah. The spiders are pretty cool. Yeah, I'll give you that. And the car flies. Yeah, all right. So, and then this one comes along. Like, this is a quality fantasy movie. So, yeah, I'll give you that.
That's fair.
Right then. My number four is Borat. Cultural Learning of America for the Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan.
That is also my number four as well.
I remember going to see this film. Did you see Ali G, the movie?
Yes.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's rubbish.
Ali G, the movie. We went to see it as a school trip. Genuinely.
Not a real school trip.
I know. Yeah, so it was probably end of year school trip. And one of the options was cinema and bowling. And the film you went to see was Ali G. It must have been a 12. It probably was a 15. We might have been in year 10 or 11 by that point, to be fair. And I remember watching Ali G, and it was that thing where you think, oh my God, you're with your mate, this is brilliant. Oh yeah, laughing at all the cop gags, it's brilliant. Yeah. And then you kind of look back at it and go, that's awful, that movie. And then Borat comes along, and I remember watching the cinema, and it was a mix of, this is the funniest, so funny, but then the whole time I'm just like, stop it. Stop it. Oh, I just couldn't do it. But I love that movie.
Yeah, I did too. I think it's great. As you say, it's just really cringy. It's like you can't believe that this hasn't been fully scripted. You can't believe that these characters are real people.
Yeah. And where it goes as far, because he goes to go and find, the story turns him to go and try and find Pamela Anderson, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then he finds Pamela Anderson in the end with the marriage bag and everything. You start thinking, I mean, this bit's got to be fake, but nothing else has been.
Yeah.
So this is, and there's just so many set pieces where he sings the Kazakhstan national anthem to the American national anthem.
Yeah.
And he does the dinner party. Is it the dinner party is part of the film? And he puts his poo in a bag.
Yeah,
and
he doesn't know it.
It's just all these different things. Wrestling naked with that fat bloke. There's just so many bits in it. I mean, I'm now thinking I need to watch Borat again because I've not seen it forever.
I've got a feeling it's a surprisingly long film. It's like 2 hours plus, I think.
Yeah, I think it's one of those but I also don't think it feels that way.
Mm.
I think the story does take over a bit at the end and that's when it works best when it's him trapping people.
Yeah.
What did you think of Bruno? Did you watch that?
Didn't watch Bruno. I didn't have any interest in it. I don't really like the character.
The character wasn't that good.
So
I did watch it, and I went to the cinema to see that as well, and it didn't. I don't think it works as well.
No.
He's not as interesting a character, I don't think.
No. But Borat is just fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's doing something new, I think. Sacha Baron Cohen.
A new character.
I don't know if it's a new character or whether he's maybe bringing Ali G back, I think, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Because he was supposed to be doing Freddie Mercury, wasn't he? Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, he got pulled out of that, didn't he, for some reason?
Yeah, he didn't like the...
songs?
I didn't realise it was going to be our Queen. it was... it was something about he didn't like the way they were portraying Freddie Mercury, in that they were glossing over a lot of the really negative things and parties and things like that he was doing, and they just sort of alluded to some of it but didn't explicitly call it out.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
And it's a positive portrayal of Freddie Mercury, I take it then?
Well, not fully, no, but apparently there's sort of been positive editing of his life even with the negativity around it. So
I've got a bit of respect for Sacha Baron Cohen for that, then.
Yeah.
I want to do that.
Me too.
That's good. Right then. So
that's both our
number
fours.
It should technically be my number three, then.
It should be your number three.
Was that the one you thought we'd have the same?
No.
Okay.
No.
I've gone number three. This is a controversial one, I reckon.
Go on.
Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl.
Yep, that's controversial, right?
Yep.
I love that film.
It's good.
It's better than good. That is a... I'd go, that's a five-star movie, Pirates of the Caribbean. Okay. The first one. It's Johnny Depp's not annoying Jack Sparrow. He's the perfect Jack Sparrow because he doesn't know he's the main character yet.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley are the main characters. Yeah. So he's a good side character. Jeffrey Rush is the best of the villains.
Yes. Oh, definitely, yeah.
And he's still just a normal Jeffrey Rush villain. He's not proper hamming it up like he does in the later movies. The story's simple.
Yep.
It's not about 12 different quests going on at the same time. They're all trying to interlope at different points.
Yep.
And the set pieces are brilliant.
The set pieces are really good in that. Like,
amazing in that.
Yeah.
You know, the bit where they're fighting in and out of the moonlight. Yeah. So in the moonlight, you can get hurt, and out of the moonlight, you can't.
Yeah.
And the part where just Orlando Bloom and Johnny Depp having a sword fight in the blacksmiths. There's so many solid moments in there that you forget how good the first one is because it's been massively watered down in the later ones.
That's fair, yeah. I suppose, yeah, I think you're right. You do sort of forget how good the first one was. But yeah, it was pitched very well, that film. It was, there's a reason why it had generated so many sequels and people still wanted to go back and see those characters again and again and again. So,
but I think the problem is it became a parody of itself very quickly.
Yes.
Really quickly. Even to the point of the second movie, like Jack Sparrow is not a main character. He's a very, very strong supporting character.
Yeah.
And that was always the problem with them.
Yeah.
Because you just can't throw him middle and centre.
No, he's irritating.
It is. No, it's exactly that. He is irritating.
Yeah.
And then when they try and give him a bit of heart and they try and give him a bit of depth, you're like, I don't want him to have depth. I want him to be, because he's a nasty character. Mm. He's out for himself the whole time.
Absolutely.
And then
Absolutely.
The little twist at the end is that, actually, I've got a little bit of good in me. Just a little tiny bit of good in me. But that's the last time you'll see it, actually. Yeah. So, hey, I'm going with that one. That's my number three.
Good shout. Good shout.
What's your number three?
Right, my number three is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh.
As the newer versions, of course. So yeah, Dawn of.
But you've got the Planet of the Apes movies.
Awesome film. And that's the best of the three, I think.
I've not seen the third yet.
So the third one's good. They're all good films. They're all excellent. But I thought the second one was done really, really well.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's one of those films where you look back at it in 20 years' time and it will have aged horribly. But you watch it now and you stick it on in Blu. I think I had them on Blu-ray, and you stick them on Blu-ray now, and it's like they could be real apes.
Oh, without a doubt.
And the way Andy Serkis gets them moving, and
and you never question it.
No,
you never question as long as the moment it, particularly in the second one, because there's no heavy CGI baby ape, or anything like that. And the second one, because they are fully grown apes from the beginning, you just never, the minute it comes on screen, they're real apes.
Yeah.
And you never think to yourself, God, that actor's doing a really good job.
Yeah.
And forget completely that it's not an ape acting and talking and doing all the rest of that stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. And the story is done in a way where it's sort of like, it doesn't feel stupid.
No.
It's a planet of apes, but it doesn't feel stupid.
No.
Because, and that's, I love that film. I'm really annoyed I've
missed that one off, because even Dawn should have made my five.
Yeah.
That was a film that surprised me as well. I remember coming, that was one of those where I came out of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes thinking, I'm desperate to see.
Oh, this was Dawn.
Not Dawn, Rise then, sorry.
Yes.
I came out of Rise of the Planet of the Apes thinking, I'm desperate to see the next one. I remember that one ending thinking, well, no, I feel like I have seen the beginning of this now.
Yeah.
And I want to see where it goes now, you know. So, but I wore past me by, you know, it's the time when I couldn't get to the cinema.
Yeah.
And I just haven't had a chance to go see it yet. So, well, look for that. It's a great choice. And the boys' parts of the Caribbean at the bloody war. Well, I'm proud of my last two, though.
Your number two.
I'm going to take it. My number two is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Okay.
Now, this is one of my favourite films.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
It's six.
Six. Just
I'm worried what I put into, when I had a look at this, because obviously what we both did is we went to Google and just put in long film titles. I'm worried what I did is I put in film titles with six words or more, and it's just giving me film titles with six words. But no, because Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, that's seven.
Yeah.
So, okay. But I know everyone came up with me listening and thinking that one. I'm annoyed that I've missed that one. Anyway, so One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
It is my I don't know if people have this. People have favourite books. People can't have favourite books.
Yeah, people have favourite books. Yeah, people do.
Weirdos. So my favourite book is War of the Worlds. This is my second favourite book.
Right.
I loved One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And then it's one of those where you watch the film thinking, I read the book before I saw the film because I did One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest as one of my English literature A-level set texts.
Nice.
And our
it's
English...
a bit graphic, isn't it, for A-level?
A-level, though.
I suppose so.
It was all about free will, because randomly we had to compare One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and A Clockwork Orange.
Wow.
Yeah, that was proper, solid, decent. And then my English teacher said, like, I implore you, do not watch the film before you've read the book, because you don't want the ending and all the rest of it spoiled for you.
Yeah.
So I took my word on, yes, I'll do it. So I sat and read the book. It's one of those where I wanted to end it.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't where you go, oh, it's next lesson, I've got to make sure I read this next chapter. It was one when I started, it was like, one more chapter.
Yeah.
One more chapter. And it was brilliant. And then you watch the film thinking, well, this ain't going to match it because I love this. And the film matched it perfectly.
Right.
Nurse Ratched. Have you seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
I haven't seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest or A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, we need to get that sorted. Because Nurse Ratched is an amazing villain.
Yeah.
She's incredible. She's not a Joker. She's not a, you know, she's not a Voldemort. She's a real life villain. You know, someone where you're just like, you're just evil and nasty. And then Jack Nicholson's great. Jack Nicholson's the hero you want to take down the pub for a beer. He's brilliant in it.
Yeah.
And he's just, it's peak Jack Nicholson, where he can be as Jack the Lad as he can, really. It's great. Yeah. And it's a really good story. And it's a bit of a depressing story. But it's, you know, I love it. Absolutely love the film.
Nice.
So there, that's classic. My number two. Absolutely a classic.
It's a classic.
And I haven't reviewed, I don't think I've reviewed, I have reviewed it. I've definitely reviewed that on the pod.
I was going to say, I think you've got that as a five-star one.
Has to be. So your number two, Dave?
My number two is Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Nice.
I really enjoyed that. I love that film. I think I watched it. I went through a phase when I was probably around sixth form time. Probably similar sort of time to you doing Clockwork Orange. And yeah, just watched it loads. And it was just, it was going around my year, and there was everyone was quoting the lines in it and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, loved it. The story's great. The one-liners are great.
It's iconic.
Yeah. And it's, in my opinion, by far the best of the Monty Python films, because there's classic moments in the others, but Holy Grail is consistent throughout. Like, the sketches are just as good in the others.
Yeah.
But as a film, I think the Holy Grail is...
I think has a higher hit rate, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Has a higher success rate for gags.
Yeah.
See, my favourite is Life of Brian. I think I prefer Life of Brian.
Okay.
But it's close.
Yeah.
I mean, Holy Grail is an absolute classic.
Yeah.
I played the video game before I watched the film, randomly.
My mate gave me a video game.
It's crap. It's awful. You're essentially playing scenes of the film. So it'll play a scene from the film, and then you play it.
Okay.
So one of them is the what's the rabbit called that attacks you? That they have to kill with the holy hand grenade.
Yeah.
Anyway, you have to kill the rabbit.
Yeah.
So the rabbit's there, and it's essentially
Steve or something.
It's a point and click all the way through. You have to keep clicking on it. And at one point, you've got to fight the knight.
Yeah.
So I'd seen most of the scenes before I'd actually watched the movie, and then I watched the movie, and it was just like, this is way better than that game makes it seem. But the game was awful. And my mate lent it to me. It was just like, I've finished playing this, play this.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a clue what it was. And it's just great. So yeah, perfect choice, number two.
Good film. And I think our top film is going to be the same film.
I doubt it.
Okay.
I can't see you having this movie.
All right, interesting. This is the one that I thought was going to be the same.
So you are true to your word. You've only had one that's been the same so far.
Yeah.
My number one is The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward, Robert Ford.
No, that's not the same as my one.
There you go.
Wow, interesting. I've not seen this either.
This is unbelievable, this movie.
This is Brad Pitt, isn't it?
Brad Pitt and Casey Affleck, and it's just a great story.
Okay.
And it's one of those, it's a Western, but it's not a classic, you know, shootouts at dawn Western. It's like a story that happens in the West rather than a Western that affects a story. Do you get what I mean?
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
You know, the setting's the West, but it doesn't follow any of the Western tropes at all. And
I'm with you.
A true story. It's Jesse James. But it's the idea that you know from the beginning this is covering his death.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the idea that, I mean, Jesse James was a scary, terrifying, like, you know those, best way of the, probably an example that you could recognise, you've seen Trainspotting, haven't you?
Yes.
You know Begbie in Trainspotting, played by Robert Carlyle, the kind of guy where you don't want to say the wrong word because you'll go from laughing at you to glassing you.
Yeah.
Jesse James is like that, except he doesn't have the temper. He has the idea that you've annoyed him, but you don't know you've annoyed him until he shoots you in the back later on.
Okay, great.
And it's just like the scenes where he's in it.
Yeah.
You know, Casey Affleck plays the coward Robert Ford, and it's the idea that later on Casey Affleck's doing things that are annoying Jesse James. And at one point, Jesse James invites himself around for dinner. And you can see that, you know, it's a tense dinner scene. It's amazing. Because you know Pitt's annoyed. You know Jesse James, like, fuming.
Yeah.
And Affleck is just doing a little bit of a dig every now and again. Because he's like, well, he won't kill me here in front of my family. So I'm just going to, every now and again, he just has a little pot shot. And you're watching it going, don't, what are you doing? Don't do that. It's great. Absolutely great movie. Because it's one of Brad Pitt's best. Casey Affleck's great in it.
Yeah.
And the story of the death and then what happens afterwards is amazing. So yeah, for me, I mean, that is, when you gave me this list, that was the only film I knew off the top of my head.
Right, okay.
The rest I went and kind of went looking for films and long titles and thought, right, okay, let's go find out which ones it is.
Yeah.
When you said that, I was like, well, that one is, if not my number one, it's definitely in my top five.
Right,
and
okay.
I couldn't find one better. I love that movie.
Oh, I want to go and watch that. It is
also good. Like 3 hours long.
That's all right.
It's epic, but it's well worth seeing. I think I own it on Blu-ray, randomly. So there you
okay.
go. I can lend
yeah.
it to you.
Yeah,
there you
I'll,
go.
I'll borrow that.
Right.
Oh, thank you.
What's your number one?
My number one, and I'm amazed that it hasn't featured on your list, I can only think you've missed it, is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
Literally the name of the film.
Yeah, God, you're right. Why didn't any of that come up on my list? Yeah, you're right.
Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade, it's classic. And we've spoken about it before. Yeah, it's six words.
No, I'm thinking of the... Yeah, okay. Yeah, why isn't... I'm annoyed at my list.
Classic film, and it's... I think, again, we've spoken about it before on the podcast.
Oh.
I think it's the best of the three. The others don't count.
We don't
it's the best of the trilogy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, Harrison Ford's awesome. Sean Connery, awesome. Baddies, awesome. Plot, awesome. Loved it. Great film. Don't need to say any more about it because everyone's seen it and everyone knows what it's about. Great film.
Really annoyed at myself. Why am I not Pirates of the Caribbean? No, I like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, Pirates of the Caribbean is better than Indiana Jones. That's an interesting call, that is, Ben.
Oh,
good.
Oh, I think I rushed my list a bit. I think I was proper excited about the films I picked. I was definitely chuffed I had Borat. I thought there's no way you had Borat. I thought no one remembers that Borat's got a massive name. Oh. Okay, right. Well, as always, let us know what your top five are. Feel free to massively tell me how much of a knob I am on social media. So
at
Twitter.
Views from the sofa.
Yeah, on Facebook and Twitter.
At Views from the sofa.
Or just go to the website, tell me how much of a knob I am.
Yep.
About this list.
And his mobile
don't just
number
come
is O's.
So our next list, and this is the one
should we review our top? We used to
we
used to
go
five,
through them. So
we?
My five were, embarrassingly, no, I stick by four of them. Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, Borat, The Cultural Learning of America for the benefit of Make Better Nation of Kazakhstan, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Assassination of Jesse James. What was yours?
My top five: Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, Borat, Cultural Learnings of America from Make Benefit, Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Your list kicked my list ass. Your list kicked my list's ass. I'm annoyed about my list.
Standard.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, then. So, I think this is the list where people are going to be shouting stuff at their phone straight away. Because this is the one that you know off the top of your head.
There's a lot of one-word films. Yeah.
And it's one-word movies.
Yeah.
So we went from six words to one-word film titles.
Yeah.
Now, you can go first because I went first last time. Here, I reckon... You reckon we've got way more the same here. And I think there's too much choice that we're going to have less.
I think we'll have two the same in this one, at least.
I think we're going to have one the same. Because I think you... This is great. I think you think I've picked films that I haven't picked.
That is almost like one of my top five films.
I went... And I made this list, and I've got crossings out. I made the choice and took ones off. There's one here I thought I had on my list on the way over.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, oh, what am I going to say about that film? And I've actually taken it off my list, so it's not on my list. And then I was talking to Kaz about it, saying, oh, yeah, we're doing that tonight. And she went, oh, you're going to talk about this film? I was like, oh, that could be on the list. Yeah. This is too difficult.
There's a lot of films on this. So I think we're going to talk about 10 great films here.
Oh, without a doubt. And in fact, I'm going nine great
up
films.
Up to 10 great I'm going films.
I'm going nine great films.
Yeah.
Because I've also got a bit of an outsider one that I had to put in there because I can't leave it out.
Okay. So how many you go? How many do you think we'll have the same?
On this.
Yep.
I'm going to go. I've literally just taken one out and put one back in. So I'm going one.
Okay. I'm going two.
Okay.
Okay.
You go first.
Right. So my number five. I had two on here, and I'm not picking one of them because we've talked about it too much in other podcasts. So
I like that.
I'm going to skip that one. And if you have it in your list, I will mention it. If not, I'll mention it at the end.
All
right. So my number five is Cliffhanger.
Good, because my number five is a bit silly as well. So you can't argue with Cliffhanger.
No. Classic film. And it's watchable. I can quite happily sit and watch that on ITV3 like once a week, as often as it's on. Yes. At 11 o'clock at night. Yes. And I've had a couple of beers, whatever.
Yes,
it's great. It's the sort of film that you see starting in 5 minutes on ITV2 or ITV3, and then you think, I'll watch the first bit, I'll watch that opening scene, I'll watch that bit on the zip wire across the peaks, and then you get sucked into it and you end up, before you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you've had four more beers, and you're going to be hungover the next day.
It's so, also the film where you go, I'm going to bed. I'm going to go to bed now.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go, but I can't be asked to go upstairs. I've got to walk up the stairs. Let me just flick through. Cliffhanger's been on for an hour.
Yeah.
I'll just watch 10 minutes. And again, you have four more beers.
Yeah. I'll go to bed in the next advert break.
Oh,
but
yes.
But the thing is, because it's on at 2 o'clock in the morning, the advert break's like one advert long. So you just don't have the chance.
Oh, God. And it's underrated as a Sly movie. I think people forget. People forget that Cliffhanger exists.
Yeah.
Because I think if you ask someone to reel off their top five Sylvester Sly movies, they would fill it with rubbish like Rambo. And they wouldn't put Cliffhanger in there.
No.
Do you know what I mean? And it's a great movie.
It's a forgotten film, yet everyone's seen it.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't know anyone who doesn't like Cliffhanger. As long as you view Cliffhanger how it should be.
Yeah.
For a balls-out 90s action movie.
Yeah.
Just a proper decent filler. It's completely silly.
Yes.
It's completely stupid.
Yeah.
But it is just absolutely solid.
It's great.
That's a great choice.
Yep. Cliffhanger for me.
My number five.
What's yours?
It's Batman.
Batman?
Yeah. 1989.
Okay. Batman, yeah. I'll give you that. I was thinking, Batman? Batman, yeah, that's probably got one word. Yeah, Batman.
What, you think Batman's two words?
I was trying to think, is it called Batman?
Batman's one word.
It is one word. That is definitely one word. I was wondering if there was another...
This is the 1989 one that's directed by Tim Burton. Michael Keaton's Batman.
Yeah.
And Jack Nicholson is the second greatest Joker ever to be on screen.
Yeah, agreed.
So, I mean, this is the one where I'm looking at it going, I know for a fact I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 films I've discounted here that are probably better than Batman, but Batman is one of my favourite movies ever. You know, I used to watch it. It's a film from me childhood, and I watched it far too young. Didn't really get how terrifying the Joker was.
Yep.
Keaton's amazing as Batman. Like that for me, until Bale came around in Dark Knight, that was the definitive Batman. That's how Batman should be played.
Yeah.
And the music's incredible.
Yeah.
And just Jack Nicholson's Joker.
Yeah. He's a great Joker.
Fuming when they announced that Heath Ledger was going to be Joker.
Yeah.
Thinking, well, you're never going to beat Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. I remember reading the articles about it as well with like comparing all the old Jokers the same as they do every time. And yeah, like how's he going to be better than Jack Nicholson?
Yeah. And what Jack Nicholson did is he almost managed to play a dark version of the cartoon Joker.
Yeah.
So, I mean, arguably, actually, Mark Hamill's Joker is amazing. Mark Hamill's Joker is incredible. The animated series Joker is iconic. If we're talking films, it goes Heath Ledger, then Jack Nicholson for me.
Yeah.
And then Mark Hamill's a third for Jokers. But, like, the Mark Hamill version of Joker, which did come after Jack Nicholson, Jack Nicholson plays that version.
Yeah.
But dark and grim and just, you know, it's nasty and people dying. But it's got really cool moments. The balloons and all the rest of that stuff and the gas. And I remember being absolutely terrified by the part where he sets the laughing gas off in the news reading because it's in the makeup.
Yeah.
And she just starts laughing herself to death.
Yeah.
And she falls over. And then kind of they focus on her face and it's got the forced smile.
Yeah.
And I was far too young watching Batman. Yeah. Batman's actually a 15.
Yeah.
And I just remember like, I should not be watching this.
It's a lot to comprehend as a kid, isn't it? Because they're smiling, so they're happy, but they're dead.
Oh yeah, you know something was wrong, and there's nothing worse than people being forced to laugh.
Yeah,
that's really scary. The laughter they were doing was really scary.
Hello, listeners.
Yeah. So
and podcast co-hosts.
Oh, yeah. So Batman is my fifth movie. Right, we're gonna do this synchronized.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, this is an oiled up podcast.
Hey. You've ruined the word lubricated for me. I can't call it that anymore.
I was rebadging it.
What did you just call it then?
Oiled up.
Oiled up?
Hmm.
That's not any better.
An
oiled up podcast.
I'm just making it sound, making lubricated sound.
Sounds like I'm wearing Speedos.
And you're not. So number four.
Well, yeah, what's your number four?
My number four, it's another one word title. You'd be pleased to know. It's Lion.
Really?
Lion. It's one of only two, I think, 5-star films that I've been to see recently, or since I've had my cinema cards.
Oh.
Loved it. So it was a great film.
So not last year, the year before, was it?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Because it's the same year as, I guarantee, another of your one-word films you've got in here.
Yep. Yeah. That's my number three.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Lion, it's a great film. So it's about a kid that basically gets abandoned and has to bring himself up and through the slums and go and find his family. It is really sad, but it's so well shot, and so you're rooting for this character.
Yeah.
And the story is awesome and the directing's awesome, and just it had me hooked. It was like the sort of film where it's not a mouth open film all the way through, but if I would consider more wetting myself than going to the toilet during that film.
Yes.
Like, I wouldn't want to miss that 30 seconds or 2 minutes or whatever to leave the cinema. I would rather sit and watch it.
I think the first hour, it might be an hour where it pretty much just focuses on him as a small boy.
Yeah.
When he's got on the train and he's accidentally fallen asleep and gone to the... And it's just...
Yeah.
It's devastating.
Yeah.
And it's him trying to get his way through life at that young age.
Yeah.
It's tough to watch,
yeah,
but it's almost unmissable.
Yeah.
I was so engrossed in it. Now, I think it drops off at the end, to be honest. But I also understand why people think it's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think the end matches the beginning, because I think the beginning is so intense.
Yeah.
And so, like, I've got to see what happens next.
Yeah.
That when he does get a bit older and you work out what's happening to him, it doesn't have the same impact. But yeah, I mean, I absolutely love Lion.
Yeah.
That film, that was great.
It's a good film.
Oh, right, okay.
Good film.
My number four is Gravity.
Wow, that high, okay.
Yeah, I
That You're a knob, you.
I thought you were going to skip that.
No, I thought, because first of all, I thought you meant, no, oh, you're an idiot. You had me then, you got me. I don't usually recognise it. People that listen to this will know that most of the time Dave makes a joke, I pause, and then I just move on. So I pause for you to laugh at home, because obviously you all love Dave. And then I move on, because what you don't see is me staring at him going, you're a knob. And then moving on. But that point, I thought you were like, that high. I'm like, well, just a second, that's four. So I don't know why you think this feels better. And then realising you've absolutely done me there. I don't know, I don't even want to talk about it now.
You're welcome.
That's it. But yeah. Right,
so gravity. My number...
No, Gravity. That was one where... Have you seen Gravity?
Yes.
That was one. I went to see the cinema. I'm not one of these people that thinks that there's certain films that can only be seen at the cinema.
Yeah.
Though I haven't seen Gravity since anywhere else.
Yeah.
But I went to see it at the cinema and I just remember being edge of my seat from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Breathing when she was breathing, holding my breath when she had to hold her breath.
Yeah.
Like, weirded out when Clooney showed up when he shouldn't do and yeah. all sorts of random things. And then, you know, with her when you think, oh, she's done it. Oh, no, she hasn't done it. Oh,
yeah.
God. And it's just an intense 90 minutes. But it jumped to one of my favourite movies. I just came out the end of that exhausted because you're just like, that's brutal. But it's brilliant. There's not a film that does science fiction as realistically as that.
Yeah.
Arguably maybe The Martian. But I think I'd put Gravity just above
The
Martian.
I've not seen The Martian.
But that surprised me. That strikes me as that a film you've
I've got seen. It. I've just not watched it.
It's well worth watching that. But yeah, it strikes me as... Gravity just pips it for me as like, this is how it feels like it would be in real life.
Yeah.
And how scary it would be. And you just wither the whole time.
So it's interesting what you say about you don't, because you saw it at the cinema, but you've not seen it since. I didn't see it at the cinema. I watched it on small screen.
Yeah.
And it didn't have the same impact.
Yeah.
It didn't. I get why it had such a thing on the big screen with just the vast blackness around her while she's out in space and just this little white thing moving and I get it, but it didn't. I really wish I'd seen it at the cinema.
Yeah, I think it probably wouldn't be as high if I hadn't seen it at the cinema, because you're also as focused on it too. You are as focused on it, so it's, and I don't know if there's much of a soundtrack to it.
No, there isn't really. It's pretty...
I think it's... It's you know, when it's silent, it is silent. And it's just that proper, intense silence from it. And you can't get away from it, as opposed to when you're watching it and your phone goes off.
Yeah.
Or you want to pause it because you think, I kind of need a wee. Yeah. Let's go for a wee.
That's it. Treat yourself.
So there is something to that, actually.
Yeah.
But I'm also, like I said before, I don't think there's films where it's like, well, you can't not watch this at cinema.
No.
Because one I saw that people were saying that about was Dunkirk. People said, oh, you've got to see Dunkirk at the cinema. You can't not see that. And I didn't see it.
Yeah.
And still loved it. And it was still, for me, a 5-star movie. So.
Yeah. I'd rather have seen that at home.
Yeah, I know you would have.
It's too noisy.
Too noisy.
That's probably war.
I've heard that. I've heard that's the main problem with war, Dave. Yeah. The noise. Yeah.
Right. My number three.
Your number three? Yeah.
Three, because I went first.
Yeah.
So my number three is Arrival.
Yeah,
predictably.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Arrival, great film. Leads on from your space one very nicely.
Yeah.
I think we've spoken about it on the podcast before.
I mean, if you're a fan of the podcast, we've talked about Arrival to death.
Yeah.
Realistic new aliens. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's surprised us both. That's why we love it. Didn't make my list. That was the one that Kaz went, oh, you're going to mention Arrival then? And it's one of those stop me walking like, whoa, oh, crap. I thought, no, I'm solid. I like my list. It's solid as it is. It's what I want it to be.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, number three.
My number three.
Arrival.
My number three, I've switched out two times now.
Okay, switch in like into and out of your list?
Yeah.
So it's just skipped four and five?
Oh yeah, this one's interchangeable because this one's interchangeable with another movie. And if you don't mention this other movie, I'll tell you which one's interchangeable with at the end.
Okay.
But I've... And I switched it out just before we did this too, because I was thinking about it on the way over, thinking, well, that's in the list.
Okay.
And my number three is Jaws.
Right, okay. Interesting. Good.
Now, this is a classic.
Yeah.
This is a classic. Yeah. And it's one of those, I don't know if there's many films that you remember, you vividly remember the first time you watched it and how you felt when you watched it and where you were when you watched it and what happened when you watched it.
Yeah.
And Jaws is one of those for just one scene. And I was up in my spare room at my mum and dad's house, what we used to call the playroom, because it's where all our toys were, mine and my sister's toys.
It's a good name for it.
Yeah, well, it was. And there was a little TV screen, and I'd recorded Jaws off the TV the night before. It was on dead late.
Yeah.
Put it on, watched it during the middle of the day, was enjoying it, thought, yeah, it's all right, I know this is decent.
Yeah.
And then he's frigging diving under that boat, and that head comes out the frigging ship.
Yeah.
And I hit the deck. I didn't close my eyes, I didn't scream. It scared me so much, I collapsed. I was on a chair, as opposed to like there was a big bed in the room, but I was just on a chair. It was comfy to sit and watch on a chair.
Yeah.
So I sat and watched on a chair, and it was literally that happened. And I don't know what it was, but it went, and it was that moment of Jesus, and it was just bang, hit the floor. And it's like, what am I doing down here? I've never been that scared of a thing ever. And I loved it. Loved that movie. The bit in the boat where they're telling the stories. And
yeah.
And the ship captain, I'm not going to remember his name, I'm going to try, tells the story of how he's waiting overnight for the shark. The shark's just picking off all his mates.
Yeah.
And it's just, he's only telling a story.
Yeah.
You know, but you're watching, I remember just edging my seat like, this is just incredible, this movie. I just remember being scared witless by it. Yeah. And it's not changed. It's still as impactful.
It is.
As scary today, even when you know the head's coming out the thing, and even when you know all that's happening. The music's still creepy.
Yeah.
And considering the shark is dodgy.
Yep.
And doesn't look as realistic as it is.
No.
Jaws is still a better film than The Meg.
And oh,
Deep Blue Sea and all those that have tried to be Jaws.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's for me. It's Jaws.
And yeah, you touched on the head coming out from the depths and the darkness. Ooh. The first time, and also that you remember when you first watched it. I remember first watching it. And my parents were watching it with me, and they said, right, brace yourself, you're going to jump now. Because I was at that age where it's like,
yeah,
going to give you a bit of warning so you're not too scared and you can sleep. And it was a TV edit and nothing happened. And I was just watching it like, what are you on about? So yeah, they cut the head coming out. So
that's awful.
Yeah.
Because that's the best scare.
Yeah, so
that's
then...
the best scare.
It was a good second watch, though. It made the second watch better because I knew there was something to look forward to there, so...
You just don't see it coming.
No.
Because you don't... Because it's such a small hole in the ship as well. You don't expect the shark either.
No.
And it's done so well that you're like, oh, shark's been around this corner, shark's been around this corner. Jesus, head! So, we're at your number two, David.
My number two. My number two is Gladiator.
Ho, ho, ho!
Yep. Russell Crowe classic.
Yep.
Yeah, again, it's one of those films. Everyone's seen Gladiator. It's a great film. It's probably Russell Crowe's greatest film.
Oh, it's definitely Russell Crowe's greatest film.
And is it Oliver Stone directed it?
No, it's Ridley Scott.
That's it.
Ridley Scott directed it.
Yeah.
It's the last film starring Oliver Reed, though.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's what you're thinking, yeah. So.
Yeah, so it's great. There's... great story, great acting, great setting. Like the setting and the scenery on that film is really, really good. Really impressive. Like just getting the Colosseum and the whole sort of, you feel like it is set in those times, whereas not all films set that long ago sort of give you that impression.
No, it's the difference between watching a film where you're immersed in the history or watching a film where you're very aware that people are playing dress up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is one where you are watching it thinking, you forget you're watching a film.
Yeah.
You're essentially watching characters in the Roman times.
I suspect it sounds like it's similar to that Jesse James one where the setting is sort of, it's so good that it's just there.
Exactly.
And the plot is just happening around.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't feel like, oh, I'm watching a Western.
Yeah.
You're watching just a solid drama.
Mm.
And the characters are so good. I mean, the story of Gladiator could happen, you know, obviously it wouldn't be called Gladiator, but it could happen at any time period.
Yeah, yeah.
Same with Jesse James, really. That story and those characters could be anywhere and would still be effective.
Yeah.
And it's a film that hasn't got a weak point.
True, yeah.
From beginning to end, you're invested and everything is just perfectly like set.
Yeah.
And the like Joaquin Phoenix, it's before he was famous, Joaquin Phoenix. Is a proper, yeah. It's before Russell Crowe was famous.
He's made him famous, yeah.
It is, yeah.
What made them both famous, yeah, yeah. Right.
And they're just perfectly cast. He's a perfect bad guy.
Yeah.
Just a proper slimy villain you just want to see.
Yeah.
And there's so much of it is absolute rubbish. And there's so much of it that just wouldn't happen, but you're just in the whole time. And then it's got that speech.
Yeah.
It's just got that Maximus Meridius Decimus speech, and you're just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're on your side, Russell.
Yeah, he's got us.
And it's one of those that keep talking about Gladiator 2.
Don't do it.
Why do it?
Don't do it.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
You don't get many perfect films like Gladiator. That one is perfect.
Yeah. Agreed.
And it's my number one.
Oh, really? Interesting. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's my number one. Gladiator is my number one film.
Okay.
The minute you said single word movies.
Yeah.
I pick Gladiator.
Yeah.
Because I've not reviewed it. I've not watched it in the last 5-6 years I've been doing me.
Right, okay.
Me blog. But it's just, I've owned it on Blu-ray. I own it. I love it. It's one of my favourite films of all time. And I just need to get it watched.
That's got to be something over Christmas. You've got to find 3 hours of your life to watch that over Christmas.
I've got so many films to review before New Year, Dave. I can't be adding to it. I'm doing 5 classic Christmas movies. So my number two.
Yep.
Because that's where we are, isn't it?
Your number two.
Is Goodfellas.
Okay, yep, that nearly made my list. They didn't make my list, but it nearly got there.
My favourite gangster movie.
Yes.
Way above The Godfather.
And Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
I mean, proper gangster movies. way above The Godfather.
Yeah.
Because I think Goodfellas is watchable and relatable.
Yeah.
The Godfather, you feel like you're watching, it's a bit of a history epic, and you feel like you're watching something you have to like.
Which is why I've not watched it.
Yeah, it is a, it is a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But you know it's a 5-star movie, but you don't really feel like you've watched a 5-star movie.
No.
Goodfellas, loved from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And that's another film where I watched it for the first, like, films where you watch it for the first time, they end and you go, like, I might have just seen the greatest thing I've ever watched.
Yeah.
Like, that was amazing. You know, or it ends and you're like, I don't want this to end. This is just, everything about this is perfect.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Pesci is terrifying in that movie. The guy who terrorises Kevin, you know, Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
He's terrifying in that film.
Yeah.
And obviously most people saw Home Alone before they saw Goodfellas.
Yes.
So you watch this, oh, it's the guy with the fire in the, oh my God, what's he doing to that guy? Just brilliant. And then De Niro's not even the best thing in it.
No. No. There's, as you say, the cast in that film is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the story is relatable. And for such a long film, it goes on a long time.
Oh, it does, yeah.
But it keeps you engaged. And the way you start in the movie, you could almost start that film 2 or 3 times through.
Yeah.
And the plot still makes sense. And you still see that evolution of the characters and where it all goes. Now, that's what makes it for me. I think the story and that it's so clearly broken into individual scenes and individual sections of the film it could be 2 or 3 great films in
absolutely.
Their own right.
Absolutely.
But when you edit it down and condense it into a single story, a single long film, it's awesome.
It's like you said about Gladiator, it doesn't have a weak point.
Yeah.
There's no point in it where you're like, oh, it's the bit where he does this. It's just, everything is great. You know.
Great fellas.
Yeah. It is. It's just, I mean, that's my favourite Martin Scorsese movie. With The Departed close afterwards.
Yeah.
It's between those two. And on any day, they might be a bit interchangeable, but for a proper gangster movie. And the other part of it as well is you come out the other end of it thinking, gangsters ain't so bad. I wouldn't mind being a gangster.
They're just people. They're just doing the job.
They're just doing the job. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Well, a couple of people die, but, you know, they had it coming.
Yep. Then you cry because you drop your toast butter side down on the floor. And it's like, no, I'm not a gangster.
God, I'm not a gangster at all. I'm the least gangster you could get. Oh, my God. Right then. So I've done my list.
Okay.
So we're just waiting for your number one. This better be good. It's the finale of the podcast.
So my number one, again, linking back to what we were talking about, introducing this section about how you were saying about there's a second guessing me and double guessing and tying it all in. My number one's Inception.
Oh, wow.
So
I didn't put Inception.
Inception's a great film again.
It is. I didn't even think of Inception.
It's the sort of film, it's a little bit like The Matrix, where you don't entirely understand it the first time you watch it.
No.
But it's got huge rewatchability. You could watch that film a few times and every time find something new about it or understand it a little bit more, and then the film is just as good as the first time we watched it, because you understand it. It evolves as you understand it. And Leo's great in it. The whole supporting cast is great. And the story is...
huge names as well. Tom Hardy's in there before it's proper Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Gordon Levitt's in there before it's proper Gordon Levitt. Michael Caine shows up, because he always shows up in a Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah.
But he's a great... he's got a great cast.
Yeah. And how the hell do you write that film? Like, just sort of going into that place in your head to be able to write, going several layers deep and thinking, well, what's happening in the layer before? And
yeah, and the logic in it, I love the logic of it and the dynamics of it. I mean, I was thinking about, me and you were talking about sleep before we started this podcast.
Yeah.
I was talking about the fact that I set my alarm and then kind of realised, okay, my alarm's going off in 40 minutes. Closed my eyes and then woke up all of a sudden and was just like, my God, 40 minutes has disappeared.
Yeah.
And that idea of how in when you're sleeping, time goes so much quicker at certain points, but then slows down at others. You can be having a dream, and when you wake up, you're like, oh my God, only 5 minutes has passed. But in your dream, you've been there for hours.
Yeah.
And including all of that. So it's ridiculously relatable, while at the same time being stupidly fantasy.
Yeah. Just like The Matrix.
It is. Yeah, it's exactly that.
I'm saying it's really similar.
There's a lot of never thought of that before.
Themes like that.
Because the other thing I thought about is, you said that the good thing about Inception and The Matrix, because you're right about it, at the first watch you're like, I've got it, I've got this, but I haven't got it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter, because there's enough cool stuff going on that you're like, oh, this movie's awesome. You know, she's just bent that whole city with her mind. This is amazing. And the same with The Matrix, you know. Yeah. I don't really know what's going on, but he's just blown that whole building to pieces with two machine guns. So, I mean,
I know I'm enjoying this, but I don't fully understand why yet. Yeah. I'm going to watch it again and understand why.
Yeah, you couldn't leave the cinema, so I'm going, what's The Matrix about?
No idea,
mate, but you should definitely go and watch it. So, Inception. I'm a little bit annoyed. I've not put in that top five, but, I mean, there's so many films.
So, the one that I had, rather than Cliffhanger, at number five was Aladdin.
Aladdin almost made mine, but along the same lines, actually. I almost put Aladdin in, but I thought we talked about that last podcast.
Yeah.
Unbreakable almost made it for me, but we talked about it last podcast.
Yeah.
The one that was interchangeable with Jaws that came out, was Alien.
Right, okay.
And I kind of put them on the same pitch. Now, they're not the same type of movie.
Yeah.
But it's that idea of one terrifying entity
killing
lots of people. And it's just like, I think, on any given day, Alien would replace Jaws. But if we go for honorable mentions, we're not going to talk about them.
I think I prefer Aliens to Alien. I prefer the sequel.
See, I don't. Yeah. I prefer the horror in Alien to the more action-y Aliens. So I've always, I mean, Aliens is still solid.
Both good films.
But there's Psycho, didn't make it for me. Casino, which was essentially Goodfellas, I took it out.
Yeah, not seen Casino.
Rocky,
okay.
Rocky was in my list, but... Yeah. You know, Memento I love, Seven I love, Trainspotting.
I had Seven for a bit.
Yeah. So it's one of those where people be shouting stuff. Like I said, my mate sent a list over and he had Labyrinth, so.
that's why he doesn't do this podcast. Do
this podcast. watch this space.
Yeah. So
that's our top five.
My top five, Cliffhanger.
Yep.
Lion.
Yep.
Arrival.
Yep.
Gladiator.
Yep.
Inception.
I said yep after every choice. I don't know why I started doing that.
No, thank you.
My choice is Batman.
Uh-huh.
Graphic.
Uh-huh.
It's not Grease. Right. Batman, Gravity, Jaws, Goodfellas, and then Gladiator was my number one.
Grease Lightning.
Grease? Would never have made my top five.
No,
so,
wouldn't. No.
I said we do top five musicals. I don't think I've seen five musicals I love that much.
Really? I bet we could do a top five musicals. We'd have the same top five, but we'd talk about five musicals.
They would have to be proper musicals. So you couldn't have Aladdin or any Disney movie, because they're not musicals. They'd have to be proper musicals.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen five musicals. Genuinely.
Okay.
Well, maybe that. Look out for that top five then, potentially, where Ben has a top two.
It would be no. At this point in time, it would be a top two musicals, and I don't even really rate Grease that high. So
yeah, but it's one of the best two you've seen.
Do you know what my top one musical would be at the minute? What my top musical is?
Go on.
Greatest Showman.
Greatest Showman's really good.
Love
yeah.
the Greatest Showman.
That'd be my top five.
I've not seen Les Mis.
Les Mis is very good.
What are the musicals?
Grease. Your turn.
Ones I've seen, I've not.
Just Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Not a musical.
Really?
That's not known.
They do a lot of singing.
That's
that.
Not known for being a musical, though.
Well, it's literally musical. Like theatres.
What came first, the film or the musical? Because I think... Oh, no, because Greatest Showman's not the same. See, I wouldn't count La La Land as a greatest musical. Like, it's a musical, but it's not the greatest. La La
I've
Land
not seen it, but I'd assume it's similar to Greatest Showman.
Oliver.
Oliver.
Great musical.
Yeah.
Leading us to Christmas.
So we could do this. Yeah. It's Christmas
next
month.
We have just pretty much named the top five.
Yes, there you go. You've got a cheap third one.
Cheap top five. Yeah, nice. Well, okay, so get in touch at the usual places, at Views From Sofa on Twitter, at Views From Sofa on Facebook, or just go to viewsfromthesofa.com. If you want to abuse Dave, and who doesn't, it's at IconDII on Twitter. You're not on Facebook publicly, are you?
No, not really.
No, so don't look for him on Facebook. Though you'd find you, surely.
Yeah.
If you typed your name in, we'd find you.
Yeah, of course you would.
But we wouldn't know it was you. There'd probably be at least 100 Dave Isons.
Probably.
They just have to guess which one looks most like the voice you've got.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't go on it very often. And the other famous Dave Ison is a 6'4" heavyweight Nigerian boxer that fought Mike Tyson in the 90s.
And, really randomly, looks exactly like Dave. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
So okay.
Don't tweet me any abuse. Don't kick your ass.
Bye, everyone. Bye.